Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to our next sermon online for you. And so we just hope that you are well wherever you are, and we pray that you will be encouraged in your faith as we look to God's Word. Now, before we look to God's Word, let me just begin with a word of prayer, but then also some prayer requests. This upcoming Friday, please remember in your prayers. Well, it's Friday going to be, I can't remember the date, but it's coming up this week. Please pray for Brett Roberge, who is having a surgery on his back. And we want to remember him in prayer, but also Pam's brother-in-law, Grant, who is having surgery on his heart. So please keep those two in your prayers as they recover from surgery, as they prepare for these important procedures. We want to pray that all goes well with them and that their bodies will have complete healing and restoration after these procedures. So let's just take this moment to pray before we get into God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you for the church and how you are moving through it today. We thank you for your Word and how it challenges us and encourages us to live for you. Lord, we thank you that we can run to you, for you are our solid rock, and you are our source of strength. We thank you for answered prayer and for your comforting presence in times of crisis. Lord, we also thank you today for your grace and mercy. We look to you because there is no one like you, and Lord, we know that your word says that nothing is impossible with you. So, Lord, as we just turn to your word, as we remember in prayer those that are in need of your healing and comforting touch, God, we do lift up Brett Roberge, and we lift up to you Pam's brother-in-law, Grant, and we just pray that you would just bless these two men, Lord, as they are preparing for these operations, these surgeries, and we pray that you would just lead those that are caring for them, and we thank you, Lord, today for doctors and nurses and the treatment that we have available to us in this country when we are sick, when we need our bodies to be worked on. And so, God, we just lift up these families to you. And we pray that you would fill them, Lord, with your peace and your healing power. Lord, we also pray this morning that you would help us to be patient and kind to one another. Lord, forgive us for when we have sinned in our anger and have fallen into temptation. God, not every day, Lord, we need you. So, Lord, we humbly submit to you. And as we look to your word, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to understand what we read and grant us the strength to apply it to our lives. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, as kids, we run to our parents when we are afraid, when we are in trouble. We run to them to escape, perhaps, that monster that was under that bed. But you know what? What becomes our safe place as we get older? Where do you turn when you're in trouble? Where do you turn when you get bad news or your world is falling apart? You know, when you think about people around you, and perhaps even in your own life, we know that some run to a friend or a close family member. Some people run to a special place. Some even try to hide from their trouble by getting lost in a TV show or movie. Others numb the pain by leaning on alcohol and other substances. Some just keep busy with work and projects and just they don't deal with the trouble, the issues in their life. And these are all unhealthy ways to cope with trials that happen in our lives. And we need to learn to deal with them the right way, not running from them. So instead of running from trouble or from fear or pain, turn to the Lord. Run to Jesus. And this is what I want to encourage you to do today as we look at our passage. For God wants us to learn to depend upon Him in all of our trials, in all of our suffering. We have been in this series in the book of James, and we are coming to the end of this series. And James has been teaching us how to really live the Christian life. Let me take a moment to give you some background and context on this book in the Bible. James is writing to Jewish Christians, and the reason for writing this book is James is working to give these believers practical teaching as they struggle to live for God in a sinful world. Today, James instructs us in our passage very important parts of living out the Christian life. Three essential things. He calls us to a life of prayer, a life of praise, and a life of confession. So please open in your Bibles with me to James chapter 5, verse 13 to 18. James chapter 5, verse 13 to 18. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In this passage, James makes the importance of prayer very clear. He actually uses the word prayer 7 times. And what does that tell us? Well, whenever we come across a word repeated that many times in a passage, especially a passage this small, we know that that's a major theme of this passage. As Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How important is prayer? Well, let's start with the fact that the church was born in a prayer meeting, as it is documented in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were wrongfully arrested and then set free, the church didn't protest, or they didn't try to get any political leverage. They had a prayer meeting. And God worked powerfully in answering the prayers of these saints, and, well, Peter and John were released. Now, I could go on, but I won't, but just in the book of Acts alone, we come across time and time again the ministry of prayer and how God answered prayer. Prayer is all important for the believer and for the body of Christ. As one saying goes, we should learn to pray our way through the day. Meaning, in life, we should pray about each thing that comes up and not merely say prayers to ask for something. Now, when it comes to prayer, the Bible teaches that there are certain laws that govern prayer. Things that we should always remember when we pray, either individually or together in the family of God. Prayer should, first of all, must be done in Jesus' name. Prayer must be done in faith. Prayer must be done according to God's will and with sincerity and earnestness. So these we must always remember when we pray together. Again, prayer must be done in Jesus' name, in faith, according to God's will, and with sincerity and earnestness. Now, what does James teach us about prayer? What does he have to say about prayer in this passage today? Well, look at verse 13. In verse 13, James begins with a question. And James teaches first that God wants us to pray for what is going on in our own personal lives. He says very clearly, and he begins, is any one of you in trouble? Is any one of you suffering? Well, what should he do? He should pray. He should pray. James says very clearly, he should pray. If we are in trouble or personally suffering, we should pray to God. If we're having difficulty, we should let God know. We should go to God in every personal situation. Now again, James is writing to believers who were suffering because of their Christian testimony. But the word in the text that you see at the beginning of verse 13, the word for trouble, it actually refers to all types of problems and suffering that we encounter in this life, whether it is spiritual, physical, emotional, financial, or even relational. we have to take each of these to the Lord in prayer. Whatever that struggle or trouble is, we take it to the Lord in prayer. When you encounter difficulties, let me ask you, is prayer your first response? For instance, when you get into a conflict with your wife or children, do you pray for wisdom and a calm spirit? Do you pray that you will be an example of godliness to your family? Do you ask God to help you check your anger? Do you pray that each family member would grow in Christ through a difficulty or through a crisis that they're going through? You see, the practice of prayer is essential to the Christian life. And I know that I have a ways to go. But my hope is that we would be a God-focused, God-dependent community of praying believers. Now, it helps if we start each day with prayer. And maybe some of you, that is how you start your day with prayer. And I just encourage you to keep that up. But that's not easy for all of us. Now, if you're not a morning person, even if you can just start the day with a short prayer, whether that's just the name of Jesus, or perhaps even the first line of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Whatever it is, that is a good start. Because God knows your heart. So begin each day by giving over to Him all that you are, your life, your plans, your ambitions, your hopes, and allow Him to lead you by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And when trouble comes, of course, well, pray. James is saying it is appropriate to always pray. For instance, when your car needs repair, pray. Will you pray for the mechanic to do a good job? When you need medical care, pray for the doctor to have wisdom. Or when you need a parking space, do you pray that one will appear? It is always appropriate to pray. James encourages his readers to respond to all of the circumstances of their lives with prayer. And that's what people who trust God do. They run to Jesus. They pray. They tell Him all about it. Because we know in life that trials will come. Suffering will come. And when it comes, it provides an opportunity to move closer to God. To ask for help. To ask for strength to remain faithful in the suffering. So in his first question, as James begins this passage, James highlights the importance of prayer. Now, a lack of prayer, neglecting prayer in response to trouble, should be a spiritual warning sign. In fact, it's a symptom of a person who is not living in dependence on God. God has called us to a life of faith and dependence upon Him. And we find in Scripture that prayer is an indicator of how we are responding to God to the circumstances of our lives. So, pray in your trouble. Now, in his second question, what does James say? First of all, he says, is anybody you in trouble? He should pray. And then he says, is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. So, in the second question, James highlights the importance of praise, of adoration, of giving thanks to the Lord. And why does James tell us to praise the Lord in song when we are happy? Well, because just like prayer, praising God keeps our minds and our hearts dependent on God, focused on Him and not our circumstances. James says, is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Whether you can sing or not, the Bible's very clear. Sing songs of praise to God. If we are blessed, if we are cheerful, we should let God know as well and thank Him by singing praise to Him. It could be a song that that you make up, or it could be great hymns of our faith that many of us sing at church. Never a day should pass in the Christian's life without the body of Christ, without believers lifting their hearts and voice in joyful praise to God for all of His greatness and His goodness. As someone has rightly said, it is amazing that man is not always praising God, since everything around him invites praise. Pray to the Lord when you are in trouble. Praise Him in song when you feel blessed. And in doing so, we are acknowledging the goodness of the Lord and the source the true source of our every blessing. We should not only pray personally to God for what is going on in our lives, but James next tells us about how important it is to be praying for each other as well. Our prayers should also be others-focused. Let me read to you again verses 14 to 16. Listen carefully. Is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. You know, no matter what we are facing, we are not only encouraged to pray for ourselves and others, but we're also instructed to ask for prayer when we ourselves are in need, when we ourselves are sick. And in this verse, James asks, and then he answers his own question. He says, is anyone among us sick? This is what he asks. And then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. If we are sick, call upon the spiritual leaders of the church. This is what James is getting at. And James directs even the elders. He says to them, pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, in James's day, the elders of the church were spiritually mature men who were responsible for overseeing local churches. They were the men who exercised leadership over the congregation they represented. And for us today, in our own church family, in our local church congregation, this would refer to our deacons and our pastors. At the same time, God can use every believer to pray for one another. But in this verse, we have this specific instruction that when you are not well, call upon the elders of the church, and they will come and pray over you. I love that in our church we have a prayer chain. And this prayer chain is a very important prayer ministry. Yes, we have prayer meetings together, and I miss even meeting in this room with fellow believers and praying together. But we also have available spiritual leaders who you can call upon when you are sick, and they will come and pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. You see, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, who is the divine agent in healing. Remember, it is God who heals. It is the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit who heals, not the oil or even the prayer. Oil is also placed on the person in order to set them apart for God's special favor. So when someone is anointed with oil, they're being set apart for God. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit and a reminder that it is God who heals, the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit who does the healing. You know, it takes humility and it takes an act of faith and courage for a sick person to cry out for help to those in church leadership. It also takes an act of faith for church leaders to collectively gather to pray for the healing for a sick member of their community or their congregation, and to anoint that person with oil while praying collectively in faith for their healing. But we're instructed to do this. So I would encourage you to remember this and to call upon the elders when you are sick. Now, what about this issue of the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well? What does James mean when he says this? Well, first of all, every prayer should be a prayer of faith, because we should not ask anything of God unless we believe that he is able to grant it. When we pray, we are not to doubt. Now, second, does James mean that every time the elders pray that the prayer is answered by the person's healing? Well, for this, we need to just always remember how Jesus taught us how to pray. And one of the fundamental things that Jesus said that you needed to pray was, "Thy will be done." So when we pray, we are praying if it is God's will. And God always acts according to his perfect will. And it is plain from Scripture that it is not always his will to grant us physical health in this life. True faith trusts God no matter the outcome, no matter what he does. True faith does not demand God to act in certain ways. No, not everyone we pray for will be healed, but this should never keep us from daily praying with faith and calling upon the name of Jesus for healing or for help or for hope. James is reminding us in verse 14 and 15 of this passage that, again, the Christian life is a life of community. It is not just about the individual and the individual's prayer life. It's about life in a community of believers, all of whom are helping one another, who are assisting one another, who are encouraging one another to love and good deeds, who are praying with and for one another. The Christian life is one of community. Now, you may have noticed that these verses intertwine physical illness with sin. Let me read you verse 15 again. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, James does not assume that the person is sick because of sin, but he indicates that it may be a cause when he says, if he has sinned. We are taught here the importance of searching our hearts and confessing all known sins to the Lord. For the one who calls upon elders to pray over him, he should be prepared to, that the elders might even ask, are you aware of any unconfessed sin in your life? And the sins mentioned here, again, they are the sins of the sick person that James is referring to. And although it is not specifically spelled out, it is assumed that the sick person joins also in the prayer of faith expressed by the elders. And a part of this prayer for healing, is a request for forgiveness from God. And God responds not only by, he's the one that grants healing, but he also grants forgiveness, which is even more important. How important it is that we always remember to confess our sins to God first. He knows everything about our lives. And we have the promise in 1 John 1 verse 7 that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a very important part of the Christian life. And so that leads me to this next word. For James has been talking about the importance of prayer and the importance of praise. And now we have here in our text the importance of confessing to one another. Let me read to you verse 16 again. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So here James teaches us the importance of confessing our sins to one another. And many of us, you know, we practice prayer and we practice praise, but how often do we practice this confessing of our sins to one another? Now, this is important for many reasons. But one of them is that it helps in the process of healing and restoration. There is a time when we need to seek out other believers and confide in them about life struggles. Don't you find that when you finally tell someone things about your life, maybe even hidden things, that you receive a release from what is troubling you? You may even feel set free from hidden issues that have been a burden in your life for years. Now, if you think this would be hard or awkward to do, you are not alone. But God has instructed us to do it, and he will give us the strength to put into practice the words that he instructs us to do. Don't ever forget that. But take seriously these words. The confessing of our sins to one another, it leads to spiritual growth. And it even can be part of our spiritual healing. Perhaps for some of you, this is that one thing you know you need to do, yet you have been putting it off for some time now, perhaps even years. But you need to do this. You need to seek out another believer, sit with another man of God or a woman of faith, and tell them about what is going on in your life that you have kept to yourself all these years. I would encourage you just to seek out that person that you respect, someone that I would suggest is a woman or man of God and faith who you respect, and then sit with them and tell them about what is going on inside. Allow them to be part of your journey. And this begins when you open your life to them, to someone, because, you know, you need prayer support and encouragement in your life, and you will get it when you do this. Now, it could also mean that what you need to confess is something that happened to you years ago. It could be also a sinful habit that you have been struggling with for many months. Whatever it is, James is clear. We need each other. We need to open up and be transparent and honest with each other about our struggles. Listen, anything that we feel we have to hide has power over us. And it can build up barriers in our lives that will eventually hold us back from growing spiritually and may even become a source of other emotional, physical, and mental problems. Powerful inner healing takes place when we confess to one another and trust in God to bring wholeness. When you have people praying over you, about what you have confessed to them, God works in a powerful way to set you free and to heal you. James says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And when James says this, James knows that praying in times of suffering and remembering to praise God in good times and praying when we are gravely ill can cause us to struggle in our faith. And so in verse 16 to 18, he gives us a picture of the praying prophet Elijah, a righteous man, and how his prayers were effective and powerful. Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament, a great man of faith. He had his struggles like each one of us, and life was not always easy for Elijah. The scriptures make that very clear if you read about him. Yet, when Elijah prayed, it didn't rain in the country where he was for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and it poured. It poured. And James' point is this: don't ever discount prayer. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. Do you really believe in prayer? Does your prayer life today reflect that you really believe in prayer? James is saying in our passage that in every circumstance in life, our response is to pray. So never discount the power of prayer as a means of grace and the importance of praising God and confessing to one another. These three items, these three important aspects of the Christian life, prayer, praise, and confessing to one another, they will build our relationship with God and within the body of Christ. So I encourage you today, turn to God and put your life in Him. Let's get our priorities straight. If Jesus himself spent time in prayer when he was here on earth, how much more do we need to open our hearts to commune with the Lord? If such times of communion have been missing from your life, you can begin today. So we're going to close now, and we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer. So as we close, let us turn to the Lord and pray together. Let's put into practice what God's Word has been teaching us to do. Let's pray. Let's give thanks to the Lord. And let's remember to confess our sins to one another. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.